Hi, Florecitas. Welcome to the Miranda Writes podcast.
I'm Crystal.
I'm Vanessa.
We have the right to remain silent.
But we probably won't.
Hi, Florecita. How was your week?
It was wonderful.
Start this over again.
Yeah. Start it all over again.
So Avery decides that she has to use the restroom and then she calls me more in the middle of podcasting.
Yes, yes. Exactly.
Anyway, I'm over being a mom.
Yeah. So if you hear like a little bit of noise in the background, it's Ariel.
Yes. And Avery.
And Avery.
Avery and Ariel.
The little mermaid. But anyways, what did we say? What were we saying?
We were talking about your week, went on that trip and then you left, put a sticker on the pole.
Yeah, there was like a sticker pole. Yeah. And I think it was Lusk, Wyoming. Mm-hmm. I think is the name. But anyways, it was really cool. Saw a lot of cool stuff. So it was a good week.
I know. I'm so happy that you got to go.
I know.
That's so cool. We'll have to put the picture that you posted of the sticker in Lusk, Wyoming on Instagram.
Yeah. We'll have to put it in. And I can't stand Instagram because it only lets you download like 10 pictures at a time. I'm like, I took like 500 pictures.
I know.
Was like, I'm not trying to do that like a gazillion times.
I know, it's awful.
But yeah, I will post that one on Instagram.
Yeah, that'll be cute.
How was your week?
It was good. It was just really busy. Work was busy. And then this story was, I don't know. I get really into my stories and I want to know like every little single detail. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of like...
A lot of digging.
Yeah.
A lot of digging, a lot of investigations.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I showed up to somebody's house and just to try to talk to... Well, we'll talk about it later. But,
yeah.
I was just trying to get my facts straight. I didn't want to... you know, I just didn't want it to be like half-assed and...
Yeah.
So anyways, but I hope y'all had a great week. This week's story is a case suggestion made by two people. The first one being our mom, Martina, and the other one was Kelly M.
Okay.
And so it was a good case suggestion because the story itself, I feel like, could have been anybody. Like, you know.
Yeah, it could have happened to anybody.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I think that we, Avery, settle down. I feel like we, when we're in these types of situations, we always, I feel like there's times where women especially, like, I feel like women, when they're done, they kind of, like, especially when you're a single mother, it's hard to let the other person go. And so anyways, but we'll talk about it later as we go on. And please stop me if you have any commentary. This is going to be a long segment.
I had a feeling, yeah.
So, so then, you know, just stop me if you have any commentary or if you have questions or whatever. But I named this case Destroying Ida. And we'll talk about why later on. It's a story from our hometown of Eloy / Casa Grande, Arizona. Avery. I'm sorry. Last time she's coming with me. So anyways, it's an extremely sad case because, like I said, I felt like Ida should have been protected, but she wasn't, you know. And not to say that the other individual is all bad because I don't want to say that.
Right.
Like it's you when, as I tell the story, you guys are going to start understanding. I'm not sticking up for him. I'm just,
yeah,
it could happen to any of us.
Okay.
So,
okay.
So anyways, let's get on with it. Ida was born on December 17th, 1963 to Dolores Salazar and Isabel Perez. So Isabel is he's a male. That's her father. A different name for a guy, but I have Ryan's name is Ryan and she's a girl.
Right.
Ida grew up in Eloy, Arizona. So if y'all don't know about Eloy, it's a small town. it's not a terrible place to live, but it has a bad rap. And it's like any other city, like you were saying. There's good, bad, no matter where you go.
Right.
Even in like the upper middle class, like even like the ritzy. Look at J.E. where he was living at, the best place to live. And he's a freaking pedophile. So it's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's not just in small towns.
Right. So. Yeah. Eloy's just typical small town.
Yeah, exactly. It's more of an immigrant town. We talked about that. So let's name the siblings in order of appearance.
Okay.
AKA oldest to youngest.
Okay.
So the first one is Sherry Perez. She's the oldest. Now, I don't know if y'all remember Sherry or not, but she's the 16-year-old girl who was in my Tufa episode. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
Bless her little heart.
I know.
She's a sweetheart that was shot when she opened the door. That episode was about Mr. Yu and the Pinal County serial shooter, Jose Jaime Aguilar.
Right.
Now, according to investigators and local news reporters, Sherry was his last victim. However, I heard different since airing that story.
Okay.
Maybe we'll cover that in a couch, geez, man.
Okay.
But I didn't know that that was Ida's sister until I started doing this case.
Okay.
And I was like, oh my God, that's so crazy. I did her sister's murder. I mentioned her sister's murder. Then it's Ida. And then it's Rachel, a.k.a. Berna. They call her Berna. Theodore. And then Edward's the baby. Okay. They're all Perez's.
Okay.
They all have the same parents. So Ida had a pretty normal childhood. She had lots of playmates, a.k.a. siblings, and didn't have a rough upbringing. Both parents worked. They took care of their kids and tried to provide for their family as best they could. But you know how kids are. Ida was a young mommy and had her first baby when she was about 14 years old.
Oh my goodness, she was a really young mom.
She and her boyfriend David at the time welcomed a baby girl and they named her Natalie. Ida and David were together for quite some time. They had dated for a while before Natalie was born. And then they made it work until she was about 8 years old and then they separated. They probably started, you know, they probably realized like that they were too young and no longer compatible. However, David stayed active in Natalie's life. He made sure he was always around for her. Shortly after her split with David, Ida met her second boyfriend, Danny. He was a decent guy, and he was good to Natalie, which Ida loved, and she loved him. Ida soon found out she was pregnant again. At 24 years old, she and Danny welcomed a baby girl, and they named her Danielle. Due to unforeseen events and unfortunate circumstances, Ida and Danny were forced to separate. Leaving Ida to raise the two little girls by herself. A year later, when Ida was 25, would be when she would meet the man who would change her and her children's lives forever.
Oh my God. Okay.
So Ida met Julio Murillo Jr. while they were both visiting a mutual cousin of theirs named Pat. Pat Z. We'll call her Pat Z. They were related to her through different sides of Pat's family. So Ida was related to Pat through her mother and Julio was related to Pat through her father. So Ida and Julio were no relation whatsoever. They had no relation whatsoever. Ida had gone to visit with her cousin Pat and Julio was there hanging out with Pat's boys, Steve and Patrick. They were introduced and at first Ida didn't really take an interest in Julio. Because he was like really young. Julio was 18 at the time that he and Ida met. Now this is up for debate because I was told through his uncle that Julio was 17. And when I, well, Natalie, the her Ida's daughter, had told me, she goes, I want to say he was 17, but I'm not sure. I think he was 18. So he was young. After that day, Julio continuously pursued Ida until she agreed to go out on a date with him. Ida was quoted as saying he was like a snake in the grass. So before we proceed, here's a little background on Julio. Just an FYI, All of my information was retrieved through numerous sources who knew the family. Mm-hmm. I tried contacting Julio and his family directly on numerous occasions to validate the information I received and to get a little background on him. Like, I wanted to know, like, how was he as a kid? Did he have a lot of friends? Was Ida his first girlfriend?
Right.
Just trying to get
to know this
person on a deeper level. I was stonewalled every single time.
Okay.
Someone did respond to me, but we'll talk about that once I'm done.
All right.
So Julio was born in July of 1970. Now, I tried to look for his date of birth, but I could not find it. And I thought I could find it, like, on the Department of Corrections, like, because they have, like, their inmate number and all that stuff. Right. It gives you all their information. It wasn't on there.
Wow.
It was weird. So anyways, he was born in July of 1970 to Isabel and Julio Murillo Sr. Isabel and Julio were married and had a total of 3 kids.
Okay.
According to my sources, again, not confirmed by the family, throughout their marriage, Julio Sr. was, like, in and out of the family's lives during the time that the children were growing up.
Okay.
Isabel was a lot like Ida's parents, though, in the sense that she worked and tried to provide for her family as best as she could. She worked at the Arizona Department of Corrections as a correctional officer for quite some time. All 3 children were boys, and I'll name them in order of appearance, a.k.a. oldest to youngest. So there's Julio Murillo Jr., then it's Roman Murillo, and then it's Alejandro, or Alex for short, Murillo. Aside from his father coming in and out of his life, Julio had a pretty normal childhood from what I understand. He had siblings to play with, you know, seemed to make friends fairly easily. But like all the other kids, he had this one BFF and his name was James. Now, James was Julio's ride or die. That's from what I understand. James was Julio's will to his grace. they were inseparable from grade school on. Now, sources have told me that during high school, Julio started experimenting with drugs. He seemed to enjoy crack in particular. Again, not confirmed by the family. This is just what sources tell me. Crack was all the rage back then. Remember? I mean, we were little, but I remember like talking about it in school. Do you remember that?
No.
You don't? Okay. I'm not quite sure if James was also experimenting or not. But drugs or not, they remained close and joined the track team together once they started high school. James stated the only other tears he had ever seen Murillo cry were tears of joy as the two hugged each other while celebrating their high school track team's victory at the state final years ago. Go Dust Devils. Dad was a Dust Devil.
Santa Cruz Dust Devils.
Santa Cruz Dust Devils. So sadly, that was not the last time that James would hear his friend cry. The second time would be several years later. Okay, so now back to the case. Ida and Julio dated for about a year and a half before they decided to move in together. When the decision was made for them to move forward with their relationship, they both agreed to leave their hometown of Eloy and move to Tucson. Tucson seemed like a good choice because Ida was determined to finish her schooling and receive her nursing degree. So initially, the plan was for them both to obtain employment and live a normal, like, life, mundane life. Ida was quickly hired on at a local hospital and worked the swing shift. Julio had landed a job at a car wash, showed up for his first day, and then didn't return after. Which left Ida to be the breadwinner. So even though Julio wasn't working, he was always busy doing something. And was gone for the most part.
Nobody knows
what he was doing.
I
was told that he was seeing a girl in Tucson. And she had a kid with him. And it was a boy. I don't know how true that is. Again, not confirmed. By the family.
Or denied.
Not confirmed nor denied by the family. So even though, so then that left Natalie to care for Danielle, her little sister. So as soon as Natalie got out of school, she would ride the bus home and then rush back to the apartment so she could take care of Danielle while her mom was working.
Okay.
While Natalie was home watching her little sister, Julio would be in and out of the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. When he was there, he and Natalie fought constantly.
Okay.
Like,
they didn't get along.
No, mm-hmm. not at all. Some of the arguments ended up in fist fights.
Oh, shoot. Mm-hmm.
At the time, Natalie was between 12 and 13 years old, and Julio would have been around 19 or 20.
Mm-hmm. So he was only like 6 years older than mm-hmm. her.
Yeah.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. The arguments and fights usually occurred during Ida's working hours.
Oh, my God.
So there was no way for her to know what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, cell phones didn't exist back then.
I was just going to say that.
And they didn't have any family members nearby for Natalie to call.
Mm-hmm.
Natalie stated that Julio was extremely controlling and wanted to dictate the entire household.
Mm-hmm.
She felt like he was too young for her mom and voiced her opinion to her mom on more than one occasion.
Mm-hmm.
When I asked Natalie what her mom would say, she stated that her mom wouldn't really say much.
Mm-hmm.
That she would, like, stay quiet and listen to her and, mm-hmm. like, just, you know, hurt take her in. Out. Yeah, take it in. And then she would go argue with Julio about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Ida and Julio's relationship was extremely destructive the entire time they were together.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even want to say toxic. I hate that fucking word. It's mm-hmm. so stupid to mm-hmm. me. It was a destructive relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, it was volatile. Not...
Mm-hmm. Huh? I go volatile.
Very volatile. Mm-hmm. Very, extremely volatile. So, despite this, Ida became pregnant once again with her last baby.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
During Ida's pregnancy, Julio had gotten into an altercation with a friend of his named Jeff. We know Jeff.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
We know Jeff.
We know Jeff. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows Jeff.
I'm pretty sure they do.
Yeah. So apparently Jeff had a cousin who was visiting from Yuma, and he had brought down his girlfriend with him. Mm-hmm. So the story goes that Julio had attempted to hit on Jeff's cousin's girlfriend.
Okay. Okay.
Jeff viewed this not only as disrespectful to his cousin, but to him as well.
Mm-hmm.
So Jeff retaliated, an argument ensued, which resulted in Jeff stabbing Julio.
Oh, crap.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing came out of that incident, though, except mm-hmm. Julio was hospitalized for a while during Ida's pregnancy.
Oh, my goodness. Embarrassing.
I know.
For her, especially. I know.
Again, not confirmed nor denied mm-hmm. by his family. I could not get anything from them.
Okay.
So, where was I? I lost where I was at.
But just typical young guy bullshit. Yes,
exactly.
Like, just in and out of bullshit, not wanting to settle down, wanting to play house when they feel like it.
Exactly.
And then...
I love that term, wanting to play
house. Yeah, wanting to play house.
Honey always says that.
Trying to play freaking daddy, but not really taking on any responsibility. Not wanting to work, not wanting to, you know... be a responsible person is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
I mean, typical irresponsible
young
person.
Yeah, person,
young teenager, because he was probably about 19, yes, right?
So absolutely.
Late teens, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just toreadero.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Toreadero.
Mm-hmm.
exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1991, Ida gave birth to her third baby while living in Tucson. Ida and Julio named her Belen.
Okay.
That's so funny because Jeff has a sister named Belen.
Mm-hmm.
After Belen arrived, they continued to live in Tucson until she was about a year.
Okay.
Sources say at that time was when Ida decided it was time for her to move on.
Mm-hmm.
So she finally decided to leave Julio, packed up her and her kids' belongings, and moved back in with her mom here in Eloy.
Okay.
And Julio went to his mom's house.
Okay, which is also in Eloy.
Yes, also in Eloy, yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. They were officially separated. So within 6 months of being in Eloy, Ida was hired on at Casa Grande Regional Medical Center as an LPN
mm-hmm.
and moved her and her kids into Los Arboles Apartments in Casa Grande, Arizona.
Which is right down the road.
Yes, uh-huh. right down the road from you. Mm-hmm. Ida had lived there for about 3 to 4 months before everyone's lives were altered.
Oh, no.
Would be altered, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
So During the time that they lived in Casa Grande, Natalie was the primary babysitter for her two younger sisters. Uh-huh. She was 15 by this time and pretty responsible. I think she had to be. She kind of had to be. Mm-hmm. You know, she was like the one taking care of the kids and stuff.
So. Right.
Every now and then, Julia would go over to the apartment, as her mom would say, to quote unquote, give her a break. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks prior to October 16th, 1993, Natalie had gone to her mother and told her she just could not be around Julio any longer. Mm-hmm. She explained to her mom that she refused to be in the same vicinity as him. And if her mom chose to have him there, Natalie would go elsewhere. Natalie was like, shoot. I just don't want to be around him anymore.
Right.
Like, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
Ida had had enough. She confronted Julio about the way he treated Natalie.
Uh-huh.
This caused a huge argument between the two, and Julio had threatened to kill Ida.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah. She took that threat seriously and placed a restraining order on him.
Okay.
Which,
mind you, is what everybody, all the law enforcement suggests.
Yes.
To get a restraining order.
Yes.
So let's just make that clear that she followed protocol.
Exactly.
On trying to distance herself from somebody.
Yes.
That was made threats.
Mm-hmm.
Was making threats towards her. Mm-hmm.
Avery. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, guys. I'm done. My kid. She just doesn't... She's 5. She doesn't understand how to be quiet. yes, exactly. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. They tell you to get a restraining order, distance yourself, whatever.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, repeat that last sentence one more time before you go on.
Which one? That he threatened to kill her?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So, Natalie had... told her mom that she was like done with, she was right. Like, I can't be around him. Like,
right.
I just can't. So if he's going to be here, I'm like going elsewhere.
Right.
I'll live here. But if you're going to have him over, then you need to tell me. Cause then I'm going to go stay somewhere else while he's here.
Correct. Okay.
So then Ida had had enough at that point. And so she confronted Julio about the way he treated Natalie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so then, of course, they got into a huge argument.
Mm-hmm.
He threatened to kill her.
Okay.
And she placed a restraining order against
him. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. I just want to clarify. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So at this time, they obviously had mutual friends and cousins, right? Because, mm-hmm. yeah. So it was pretty hard for them to completely avoid each other.
Uh-huh.
And it's not uncommon for people to keep in contact. Even after the restraining order has been placed, right? Because
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
people want to believe that the other person won't harm them mm-hmm. or that they're not going to hurt them, that mm-hmm. they just feel like maybe they'll change. I don't know. Right. You know how you are when you're that young. And I'm not
right.
saying that nobody's perfect. People, mm-hmm. like I said, especially when you're in a very volatile relationship mm-hmm. or a very destructive one
mm-hmm.
it's not always that way
right.
there are good times
mm-hmm.
and I'm not please like trying to condone it mm-hmm. but these are
real life issues
exactly.
that people go through
all the time
it's yeah. not uncommon
exactly
for women especially to go back yes. to their abusers
mm-hmm.
even males that if
even
they're
males.
Getting
mm-hmm.
abused by their girlfriends or wives or
exactly.
whatever, it is not yeah. uncommon for them to go back.
It's not.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about that in one of our couch chismes mm-hmm. when you were talking about domestic violence.
Right, right.
Which not all women that are abused are quote unquote terrified of their abusers, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There are some that like they're abused, but they're like, whatever, I can deal with it or
mm-hmm,
he's
mm-hmm.
gonna change or whatever, right?
Right?
So, I feel like it's a lot of familiarity,
mm-hmm.
you know, like people just, they don't want to leave that. They don't want to
yeah.
leave their comfort.
Right. Or a lot of them, they are like, I remember when this person was a good person and I know that real person, this is not who they are.
Exactly. Yeah.
So they're always chasing like who they used to be, not
mm-hmm.
knowing that was part of their manipulation or a part of their control.
Yeah,
not
exactly.
realizing that's their game.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So they're constantly chasing the nice guy that they used to be know. Exactly. Or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. I completely agree.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So you know, when it's familiarity, you know what I mean?
Familiar.
When you're familiar with somebody, you know that person, you know their habits, their likes, their dislikes, and you come to be able to predict their behaviors, right? Like you can kind of predict like what's going to happen if if you do this or that or whatever. Rather than dating someone new and having to figure out all that stuff all over again. Like it's just, and a lot of people, like I remember Tiffany would be like, she would tell me this all the time. Like, I don't have the energy to date other people and get to know somebody. I don't have the energy for that. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You have free dinner.
That was right.
Like, you get free dinner, you get free movies, you get like, but she would always tell me that. And I'm like, what are you talking about? But now as I'm older, I completely get it. It's just like, you don't want to waste your time.
Yeah. That's what it is. It's a waste of time.
It's a waste of time. Because
you have to start all over. It's like, it's energy draining.
It is.
You know, because then you have to put effort into somebody.
Exactly. And you can't act like a psycho like you usually do.
Like you usually do, or tell them to F off.
Yeah.
You know, because they're idiots. Can't be a bitch. Yeah. Can't be a bitch. You got to act like you like the LBs. You know.
Yeah.
The huge.
The huge.
You know, got to like pretend like you like the freaking in-laws or parents or whatever the hell.
So. Yeah. So. In reality, some people don't want to have to deal with trying to understand and recognize all of these things with somebody.
No, right.
That's just basic. That's how I see it.
Yeah.
And then there could be like a million different reasons why people will have, why they don't leave or, you know. So anyways, it's not for us to sit here and
dictate or solve.
Determine or figure out anybody. We're not therapists.
Yeah.
Anyway, so October 16th, 1993 wasn't any different from the back and forth that these two were doing with each other, right? Ida had a full day planned with Julio, the two younger kids, and her niece. So after pulling a double at the hospital, she had worked like 16, 18 hours that day.
Wow.
She went home, showered, gathered everyone so they could go to her company party over here at Dave White Park.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So if y'all don't know what those are, it's like, so remember mom and dad used to, their company always had like through all those parties and stuff.
Yeah,
like those,
yeah.
They had like a picnic and they had like all these games and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, we would go to Sunsplash a lot, remember? That's when they have, that's where they would have their company parties.
Yes,
remember?
Yes, yes.
At Sunsplash and it was fun. I remember that.
Yeah, back in the day. Now nobody wants to do that shit anymore because of the COVID. And then they're all tight ass.
It's not just the COVID. Like, it's not just el COVID. It's like everything else. Like, none of these companies want to do that anymore. And it's so weird.
I know. It's crazy.
It was like legit back in the day.
Yeah.
Now it's like everybody.
That was like puro pinche party back in the day with the companies. And now they're all tight ass now.
Everybody is like, we can't do this because, you know.
Because of liabilities.
Or that, or liabilities or religion or this or that. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, what the fuck are we here in fucking America for?
Well, like, I'm just trying to get a free entry into Sunsplash.
I just want free food and I want to swim for free in Sunsplash. Sunsplash is expensive.
I know, it's like $25
fucking to get $30 in. Fucking $30 to get in. God damn. Anyway.
So she went home, got the kids ready to go to Dave White Park.
Showered, got the kids ready. The kids and her niece, too. So Ida had a niece named Sherry and she was always there.
Okay.
Yeah. And that was Berna's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the Cherie, I think her name was Cherie, but you know, the sister Sherry, her sister Sherry had died. So it was Berna's daughter.
All right.
So I lost my train of thought. So I, once the party was over, Ida dropped the girls off with Natalie, so she could babysit them. So Ida and Julio could go out. Now, Natalie was, staying at Ida's friend Melissa's house.
Okay.
And Melissa lived in Rancho Grande, you know, Rancho Grande.
Okay, yeah. North of town.
Yes, north of Casa Grande. North Casa Grande, yeah. So after they dropped off the kids, Ida and Julio went to a house owned by their mutual cousins, Teresa and Gloria Z, their sisters.
Okay.
And they're related to Drea. So Pat, Teresa and Gloria are all related to Drea. Bear. They're all related to Sister Bear. They were just having a little kickback to like hang out, bullshit and drink.
Kick you back.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew.
Kick you back.
I knew it. I was waiting for that. Like when I was typing this, I was like, oh, again, I could hear you in my head. It was so funny.
Kick you back. Kick you back.
I was waiting for that. Uh-huh. So, Ida had quite a few drinks that night and became a little hostile.
Ooh, queen.
So sometime during their visit, she and Julio started arguing. Oh, no. Now, according to their cousin Gloria, mm-hmm. Ida was quoted as stating to Julio, "I don't even like you. I'm not in love with you." When Julio had told her, like, "You're the one that picked me up from Eloy. You're the one that picked me up from Eloy. What the fuck?"
Like, he's all like, "I didn't even want to be here."
He's like, "You're the one that picked me up. So what the heck?"
He's all, "I don't even like you."
So she then stated, "I just want you around for the kids." Like, yeah.
For the kids?
"I just want you around for the kids."
Well, like, it doesn't really seem like he was doing a whole lot for the kids.
Oh, yeah. So now the cause of the argument is up for debate. Because according to some, they were arguing over a call Julio had received the previous night. Mm. So on or around October 14th or 15th, Julio received a call from a woman whose husband boyfriend worked with Ida. She alleged that Ida was hitting to her man, that Ida was hitting on her man.
Oh, shoot.
And she felt like she needed to inform Julio because she's just the fucking...
Uh-huh. She's the fucking hall monitor of who's fucking calling who and shit. Yeah. So she's trying to blame Ida for her man being a whore.
Yeah, exactly.
A man whore.
Yes.
And that's the shit I hate. You know what? If you're going to blame anybody, blame your piece of shit man. Right?
Why is... Yes, I mean, exactly.
Uh-uh. Don't be doing that.
Avery.
And so what the hell? I mean...
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
And I... Okay, here's the thing. Like, we've all been there a time or two. Maybe three. But, mm-hmm. You know, like, if you... For instance, like, Honey and I have had some issues. Mm-hmm. And I never, like, called whatever girl I thought he was, like, you know, busying mm-hmm. himself with.
Meandering with.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, like, mm-hmm. I was like, that's all you, because you're the motherfucker that is allowing it.
Right.
Right? You're right. The one that... You know, and this
somehow
is,
putting it out there, exactly. Making somebody feel comfortable that they enough. Can approach you that way.
Exactly. So I'm not saying that he, not, and it's not just him and I, it's everybody. Yeah. Everybody mm-hmm. does it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I just feel like if you're with somebody, and that was like years and years ago, but, you know, I just feel like if you're with somebody and another person, or you find out your boyfriend, Ida wasn't doing anything from what mm-hmm. I understand, she wasn't doing anything. Mm-hmm. She was dating other people, but not that person.
Right.
So I just feel like if you find out about somebody, mm-hmm. like if you find that shit out, like why are you gonna go cause problems in the other relationship? Exactly. It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, yeah, you're just bringing somebody else in. Let that shit be. I mean, exactly. If you have a problem with it, address it with your partner.
Exactly. Don't be bringing all these other people into it. It doesn't make sense to me.
It's just because the issue is between you and that other person. If you either want to be with them or you don't, you either shit or get off the pot. Why start ruffling up everybody else's feathers and just causing problems for everybody else?
Exactly.
Handle that shit in your house and be done with it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And not just that, but okay. So I completely agree with you. But here's the thing. You don't know the situation in the other household. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're swingers and they're okay with that.
Hey,
Jada and Will. All those memes. Maybe they're in an entanglement. Who knows? I don't know.
I mean, somebody tangle me.
You know, like nobody knows mm-hmm. what the hell goes on in another person's household.
Right.
And also, maybe they're not in an open relationship, but... You don't know the other spouse and how they're going to react.
Yes.
And what if, again, a situation like this happens? Like,
right.
This case, this is ridiculous. Like, mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway, so on with the story.
Yeah.
She called Julio and told Julio, "Your girlfriend needs to stay away from my man." That's mm-hmm. basically what she said.
Okay.
she said, how was that? Hold on. Yeah. So, sidebar. Julio had Ida call this woman back.
Yeah. That night that they were arguing?
No. Like, just the night before. She called Julio when Ida was at work.
Okay.
So when Ida got home, he's like, you need to call this bitch in front of me right now.
Okay, gotcha.
And you need to put her on speaker. That's what he said.
Okay.
So he had, Julio had Ida call this woman back when she got off of work and had Ida put her on speaker.
Okay.
Ida did as she was told. And during the conversation between the two, this lady tells Ida to stay away from her boyfriend. Ida then stated, now I'm going to get my ass beat because of what you're saying. Again, you don't know what goes on.
Right.
In that other household. Exactly. If that other guy beats the shit out of whatever goes on, you don't know.
Yes.
So anyways, the conversation ended at that.
Mm-hmm.
Others have said that the argument initiated because he was a pega chicle. You know, he was stuck to her ass. Julio.
Julio was stuck to Ida's ass.
Yeah. He was a pega chicle to Ida. So that was, okay, so the call, the whole girlfriend thing, or the whole lady that called Julio, that was one of the reasons they were saying that the argument started. Okay. That was just one of the reasons.
Right.
So another reason that I heard from sources said that it was because Julio was a pega chicle to her.
Okay.
So I'm thinking it was probably both.
Both. Right.
That's what I'm thinking. He constantly wanted to be around Ida. And then again, that's what I said. I'm assuming it was more like a mixture of both of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think that she was kind of like, I want to say that she was probably, it was probably one of those situations where she's like, I want you around when it's convenient for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, either way, he annoyed her because, like, when she was done dealing with him, she was just done. Mm-hmm. But that didn't necessarily mean that he was done with her.
Right.
Or
that she wasn't going to go back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did she get her ass beat the night that she talked to the girl? Does anybody know?
No, I don't know. Nobody knows. I don't know.
Okay.
But that was like a day prior to this October party. 16th.
Yeah.
Then October 16th was they started fighting about it again.
Mm-hmm.
So again, like, we're not here to judge Ida or Julio. We've all been there a time or two, maybe three. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Either way, they started arguing. She screamed at Julio. She no longer loved him or wanted to be with him. Ida had trouble shaking him off because, again, he was a pega chicle.
Mm-hmm.
That means that he stuck to her like gum on a hot summer day. How it just sticks to your shoe. That's what pega chicle means.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay, hold on. We're almost done. She tried leaving their cousin's house while intoxicated.
Uh-oh.
As she was pulling out of the driveway, she hit another vehicle. I don't know whose car it was. But across the street, a patrol officer was parked and watched the entire thing go down.
He
saw her trying to leave and whatever. So the officer headed over there. And during that time, Julio told Ida to give the officer her sister's name.
Uh-huh.
So she wouldn't get into trouble. Once the officer got down to question her, it didn't go too well.
Uh-oh.
She was argumentative and combative with him. She attempted to, or he attempted to take her into custody, and she resisted arrest.
Uh-huh.
I'm assuming he had called for backup or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Once the officer got down to question her, it didn't go. So then he called another officer to assist him. They were able to wrangle her around and handcuff her. Mm-hmm. Finally, they placed her in the back of the patrol car. Well, somehow she slipped her hand because she was really tiny.
Mm-hmm.
She slipped her hand out of the handcuff and started hitting the cage that separates the front and the back of the patrol car. She was extremely belligerent. So he had to hog tie her and, you know, in order to calm her down and took her down to the station.
Okay.
So if you guys remember, Ida had given her sister's name, right, to the officer, because she was on intense probation.
Oh.
So at the time she was on intense probation. So once she was at the station, you know, you have to sign paperwork or whatever. So instead of signing Rachel Berna's name, mm-hmm. she signed Ida.
Mm-hmm.
And so they found out that she had given them false information.
Right.
So the officers, they ran her name and they found out that she was on intense probation.
And do they know, so, do we know what she was
sidebar, on? She was on, the reason she was on intense probation is because she, when she was younger, her and a friend had stolen a bus from the bus barn and it finally had caught up to her.
Oh, shoot. So okay.
That was why.
All right.
Because, I mean, it, there was, she couldn't work at the hospital if she had like a really long criminal history.
Right, right.
She was working at the hospital, so.
Right, okay. You know.
So with that being said, protocol is she should have been taken and booked into the Pinal County Detention Center in Florence, Arizona. Both of these issues warranted for her to be taken into custody, especially because she was being belligerent, resisted arrest, and was driving under the influence.
Right.
But that's not what happened.
Okay.
The officer at the station stated she didn't really smell like alcohol. And she had calmed down quite a bit. She wasn't belligerent with him. And he's like, she didn't really smell like alcohol that bad. So I just gave her a pass, basically. And he said it was too far to drive all the way to Florence to book her into jail. He didn't want to do that.
Too much work.
Yeah. So he released her. But he obviously couldn't just let her go. So he had to release her to somebody. So the officer called Julio to come pick her up. At that time, Ida begged him not to release her to him because he was going to hurt her. In fact, a few days prior to this incident, police officers had responded to a domestic violence call involving the two of them. At the time, Julio had threatened to kill Ida once again. So from what I understand, Ida had placed a restraining order on him. Natalie told me it was 2 weeks before, and somebody else told me it was 2 days prior to that. So I don't really know
The timeline.
The timeline, but I know she did place a restraining order against him. So I'm going to assume at the time officers didn't know that. Even now, I don't think they know that you have a restraining order against somebody. You have to tell them.
Right. And that's what I was going to say is like the right hand doesn't talk to the left hand. Like always, you have to do people's job for them.
Yep. All the time.
You know, I mean, it's not just with that. It's like in anything.
Yes.
You know.
Absolutely.
So they probably didn't know. And maybe even if she did say, they're probably like, she's belligerent, like,
yeah,
you know,
they probably didn't believe her
if she did say something.
So we don't know what, what exactly went down because we weren't there at the police station,
but right,
yeah. So if unless you're telling them like, listen, I have a restraining order on this person, they shouldn't be within an X amount of feet within, well, you know, feet near me, they're not gonna they're not gonna know. So I don't know if she did or not.
Right.
I have no idea. Okay. So Julio and Gloria show up to the police station to pick up Ida. Once they released her to them, the dispatcher stated she heard them arguing, but never told the police officers. What I'm going to tell you guys, she said this in court. She never told the police officers that they were fighting.
Oh, shoot.
So the dispatcher stated she heard the two of them arguing on the way out, with Julio stating, how'd you get out? What'd you do, milk a cop?
So he was like saying that she gave him a BJ or a hand job or something like that.
And that's how she. Okay, well, lay down on the couch. We're almost done. Where? On the couch over there. There's a
couch. The golden one.
There's a couch right there. Lay down. So they were like arguing, you know, pretty bad when she left. So after they leave the police station, they make a quick stop at 7-Eleven to buy some more beer. While there, Gloria stated that she witnessed Ida pushing Julio and telling him it was his fault that she got arrested because he's the one who told her to give the officer a false name, you know, so she wouldn't be arrested. Gloria states that Julio responded with, I don't want to argue anymore. I'm going to go home and go to sleep. But he decided to stay for whatever reason. Once they were done at the convenience store, they dropped Gloria off at home, and then they went to pick up Ida's sister, Rachel, a.k.a. Berna, at Bedillin's, because that's where she worked at.
Okay.
Berna dropped them off at Ida's apartment, but was worried about her sister because they were arguing. Like, mm-hmm. they were just arguing the whole time. Mm-hmm. Ida reassured her that everything was fine and she could go. This was the early morning hours of October 17th, 1993.
Okay.
And that would be the last time Berna ever saw her sister alive again.
Wow.
So Berna drove to her boyfriend's house out there in Levin Mall Corner, mm-hmm. which is like about a 15 to 20 minute drive, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And decided to call Ida to make sure everything was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Julio answered the phone and reassured her everything was fine. However, while on the phone, Berna heard the other phone in the apartment pick up, but no one said anything.
Mm.
So keep that in mind.
Okay.
So back then, it was like 1993. So everybody mm-hmm. had house phones, right? So Ida had two phones in the house.
Right.
So I don't know if you remember, but if you were talking on the phone in the living room,
yes.
and Mom had a phone in her bedroom, I could pick up and hear what you were saying.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
That's uh-huh. kind of like what happened.
Right. Right.
Berna asked Julio where Ida was, and he stated that she was busy cooking and quickly changed the subject and was finally able to get Berna off the phone.
Mm.
Ida's neighbors who lived under her heard a lot of what sounded like loud thumps.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember that beautiful popcorn ceiling stuff?
Back in the good old days where they thought that was a shit.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of that stuff was falling.
Like
so,
chunks were yeah, falling from yes, the uh-huh. bottom floor yes. apartment.
Yep. Every time the loud thumps would hit, like, it would just fall.
So it had to have been severe.
Yes.
I mean, some hard-ass thumps mm-hmm. in order to make that beautiful
yes.
popcorn ceiling
beautiful,
fall off in chunks.
Beautiful popcorn ceiling. Uh-huh. We should do that to your ceiling.
Yeah.
And you're in my ceiling. We should just spray popcorn. I'm just kidding. Uh-huh. That's god awful. Anyways, so it was just like falling. Every time there was a thump, it would just fall.
Wow.
So they walked upstairs to tell them to quiet down. When they knocked, Julio answered the door, but didn't completely open it. Mm. While the neighbors' names were Willie and Tammy Ramos.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. While they were there, they asked him to keep it down. They stated, while they were there asking him to keep it down, that they heard what sounded like giggling inside the apartment. Mm. Julio apologized and stated it wouldn't happen again. Willie and Tammy stated about a half hour later, the noise started up again, but this time it sounded a little different. They said it sounded like someone was pacing back and forth.
Mm.
Neither of them ever heard any screams or voices coming from Ida's apartment. Keep that in mind. So once again, Willie and Tammy walk up the stairs again. But this time, Julio didn't answer the door.
Mm.
So he spoke with Tammy through the door. And Tammy stated that she asked Murillo that she had asked Julio, how would you like it if we acted like this? To which he replied, I'm sorry, it won't happen again.
Mm-hmm.
10 minutes after that last incident, that's when they saw police bustling up the stairs. So I'm going to be like going back and forth from here on
mm-hmm.
out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so once the police arrived, they ordered Julio and his brother Roman
mm-hmm.
to lie face down on the ground. During that time, Officer Tena stated that he had heard Murillo confessed to the murder by telling his brother, and I quote, tell them you had nothing to do with this. It was me. Tena thinks that Julio wanted him to hear. He wanted Tena to hear him confess. CGPD, Casa Grande Police Department, stated it was one of the most recent gruesome crime scenes they had ever been witness to.
Mm-hmm.
Officer Tena was also the one who discovered Ida in her room.
Mm-hmm.
He was quoted as saying, I found her lying in the southwest bedroom. She was obviously dead.
Mm-hmm.
So sidebar, Tena was the officer that had witnessed her getting into the fender bender
okay.
and cited her for the drunken driving and giving a fictitious name.
Okay. Stop right there.
Yes. Go ahead.
So now, mija, mm-hmm. refresh my memory.
Yeah.
So you said when the officers showed up that his brother was there.
Yes.
Did the witness, was he there during this altercation or nobody knows? That hasn't been confirmed or denied.
No, he wasn't there.
He was not there.
No, he was not there.
So he must have called him after the fact to probably help him conceal the body or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and that was, okay, so go ahead.
I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. We'll get to there. Okay. I'm almost there. So, but I just wanted to say that Tana was the officer, the arresting officer who took her in when she got into Little Fender Bender at her cousin's house. And then when she got to the station, she talked to somebody, another officer.
Right.
So then that's the officer that released her to
and
Julio.
Did she tell the officers, like, don't release me to him?
I told you, okay.
I just wanted to make sure.
Yes, she said, do not release me. She begged him, please don't release me to him. He's going to hurt me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I just wanted to say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So nobody actually knows what exactly went down in that apartment other than Ida and Julio.
Okay.
Obviously, Ida isn't here to tell us what went down, and Julio isn't talking.
Right.
However, this is what is understood to have happened based on what the investigators have put together and witnesses that spoke to Julio firsthand the night of.
Okay.
So according to authorities, Ida and Julio were arguing when they got home. Right when Rachel dropped them off, a physical altercation between the two started. This is based off of how badly Ida was beaten.
Okay.
And it was noted in her autopsy. She had a crushed larynx,
which is her throat. Okay.
So I just put this in there. Fractures of the cartilage structures of the larynx or trachea. These fractures can cause air to escape into the neck and chest, leading to significant respiratory compromise. So
she was suffocated or choked, strangled.
Choked, I would say.
That's why they didn't hear no screaming or anything, probably.
Exactly. That's exactly what I thought. Yeah. Julio got a knife, stabbed Ida multiple times. She somehow managed to run to her room, shut the door. She pushed her body against the door. She put all her body weight against it to keep Julio out. Again, this is based off of evidence. There was a streak of blood going down the door. And that was on the inside of the bedroom door. So they know that she ran into her bedroom and shut the door. Then she was like trying to hold it with her body.
Right.
Julio made his way in. She tried jumping out of her bedroom window. And she lived on the second story.
Right.
So she tried to jump out. She was also naked and like bleeding everywhere.
Oh my God.
I don't know how she got naked.
Right.
He grabbed her and proceeded to stab her. Repeatedly. Once the police arrived, they noted that there was no sign of a struggle. But so I asked Natalie about that. I said, so if Roman was there, to me, I feel like he had time to put everything back. Right. So if there was a struggle, he had time. And I don't think so. When Willie and Tammy said that 10 minutes later, they heard the police bustling up the stairs. I don't think it was 10 minutes. I think it was longer than that. But, you know, when you're tired and they had just had a baby.
Okay.
So I don't think their time frame was
accurate. Yeah. Completely accurate. Yeah.
I think there was more time.
Okay.
So I asked Ida about that. I asked Natalie. I said, Natalie, so I read in the police report that there was no,
sign of a struggle.
Nothing was knocked over. She goes, Crystal, there was no furniture in there. There was like, we didn't have a lot of furniture. So there was nothing to knock over.
Right. Okay.
And I'm like, that makes sense. Okay. So then I wanted to say that. They also noted there was blood all over that apartment, from the kitchen down to the hallway into her bedroom and pretty much all over the bedroom. Officer Tena stated he found her under the bed.
Oh, my God.
He found her body under
the
bed.
So he was trying to hide her body. He was trying to conceal it. I mean, how would it get under the bed?
Yeah, I don't know. Unless she tried to hide from him, like, you know, and he just, like, she was trying. I don't, but that's true, though,
because
he stabbed her. like 58 times. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't include the defensive wounds.
Right.
Like, so I read the autopsy. Mm-hmm. He mm-hmm. beat the shit out of her. Mm-hmm. Like, he hurt. Oh, my God. It's awful. So, anyway. Mm-hmm. So, when I asked Natalie about that, Natalie said that there was, her mom was, like, refurbishing a bed. Mm-hmm. So, she goes, and it didn't have the mattress on it because she was, like, you know, redoing mm-hmm. it. I think it was, like, a wood piece. So, mm-hmm. she was probably, like, painting or whatever. So, she goes, I don't know if they found her in there mm-hmm. or if it was underneath her bed that she mm-hmm. had, you know. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. But, so this is Julio's version of that night.
Okay.
He and Ida were arguing. He grabbed a knife. Or she grabbed a knife, sorry. He and Ida were arguing. Ida grabbed a knife, hit him on the head with it really hard with the end of the knife.
Okay.
Like, hit him on the head with it really, really hard.
Not the sharp end.
Not the sharp end. The hold. Yeah, the handle.
The handle, uh-huh.
And then...
the hold.
He fought her for the knife and was finally able to grab it from her. She calmed down a bit. He gave her the knife back. And she tried to go after him again. He grabbed the knife from her once again, stabbed her 3 times, and that's all he can remember. He blacked out after that. He doesn't remember anything.
That's what he's claiming.
That's his story.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, complete bullshit. Okay, so as I was speaking to Ida's daughter, Natalie, she had mentioned several things that had intrigued me. Mm-hmm. For instance, once he came out of the blacking out, I'm using air quotes, mm-hmm. or maybe during, I don't know, I wasn't able to speak with him. I wasn't able to speak with him at all. Like, mm-hmm. he just, you know. Anyway, so during that time or after he blacked out or after he came to, I guess, he was able to take a shower, wash off the knife, make phone calls, drink a beer, ate a piece of chicken, and waited for his brother to arrive.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
What do you think so far?
That is bullshit. And he remembered that?
No, he didn't remember that. Well, yeah.
I mean, he recanted that?
Yeah, yeah.
I just think that's a convenient fucking story.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't understand.
Okay. So, sidebar.
Okay.
What people did he call, you ask?
Yeah. Well, no, his brother for one. Mm-hmm.
So, the first initial call he made, guess who he called?
The sister?
He called Natalie. He called Natalie and he told her he was sorry, that he was so sorry, and he wished she could forgive him.
The daughter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she talked to him or did he call and leave a message?
No, she talked to him. And she was
like... And what did she say?
Well, she was like, why? What do you... What? She was confused. She didn't know what... She wasn't even there. She didn't know what the hell was going on.
Right.
Next, he called his mom. And she didn't answer. Then he called James, his best friend, and said, and I quote, James, tell my little girl I love her. I'm not a bad person. I'm sorry. I've ruined my life and I've ruined hers. And asked James to walk over to his mom's house because she wasn't answering her phone. James goes and gets his mom. He talks to his mom and she instructs him to call his brother Roman.
Wow.
Then he calls Roman and waited for Roman to arrive.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous.
That's insane, huh?
So how did the conversation end with Natalie? I mean, did he just hang up on her or?
Natalie was just like, okay. Like, uh-huh. I don't
know what she's saying. Okay, yeah.
She just was, and I'm sure she was asleep. So, yeah. You know, so, mm-hmm. So she's like, what are you sorry for? And he's like, I'm sorry. And he hung up.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he remembers that?
Well, Natalie told the officers that. And then the office. I mean, these people were
like investigations. Yeah,
investigation. And, yeah, I mean, like,
this is all verified. Yes, through,
this is all verified through police work.
Right, police work. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's crazy, huh?
Wow. Anything else
that you want to say?
No. I just. I think that's a line of bullshit that he blacked out.
I think so too. So. Okay, so when Roman arrived, he lived at Courtyard Apartments.
Okay, which was just south of there.
Yes.
Like a block.
Yes, that's where Roman lived at the time. Yeah,
like a block away.
Yes. When Roman arrived to the apartment, Julio was waiting for him outside.
Uh-oh.
According to a source of mine, they drive to Melissa's house, to Rancho Grande.
Okay.
Park outside, but Julio never gets off.
Okay.
Roman is continuously asking Julio the whole drive there, where's Ida? Where is she? Julio states that he's sorry to tell everyone he's sorry. She's not coming back. She's dead. Roman then tells Julio they have to go back because she might not be dead.
Right.
So when they get there, 3 911 calls were made that night.
Oh, shoot.
One was from a neighbor.
Okay.
And the other two were from Roman. So Roman had called the police once. Julio got upset and told him, no, we have to wait for mom.
Ugh.
And hung up the phone. Roman then said, we have to call 911. When he called the second time, the dispatcher informed Roman officers were already in pursuit to the residence.
Oh, my God. Close the door, Avery. Hurry up.
Get in and shut the door. So Isabel, Julio's mom, arrived at Melissa's house and picked up Belen, the baby. She said Julio and Roman had been arrested, but didn't know what happened. Melissa and Natalie go to the apartment, and it's all taped off and blocked off. Natalie could see Julio in the patrol car. So apparently he had cut his finger, and so they had stitched him up. That's the only wound he had.
Wow.
He got like 3 stitches. So because they had to stitch him up, he was in the patrol car, and Roman was already at the police station. Detective Ybarra is the one who ended up telling Natalie the horrible news.
Wow.
Yeah. So Julio had 2 trials. The first trial was a mistrial.
A mistrial? How?
So they were charging him with first degree murder. So under the first degree murder charge, the state of Arizona has to prove the murder was premeditated.
Okay.
The jury came back 11-1, meaning 11 out of the 12 jurors felt like it was premeditated except for that one. So even though the majority of them felt like it was, that one is like, I don't feel like it was.
How can you not feel like it was? He made multiple threats.
I don't know. Well, his defense.
The multiple threats, the restraining order that was in place.
They couldn't bring none of the past up. They couldn't bring
up. Why?
None of the domestic violence calls. That's what I was told. They could not bring any of that up.
How?
I'm assuming that if they did, then they were going to be like, well, we're going to bring up all this other stuff about Ida.
Right, so, right.
You know, that's what I'm thinking. Like, you know, so then the prosecution didn't want to paint her that way.
Right, you
know,
right.
So they were like, then we won't bring it up, you know. So all they were allowed to bring up was what happened that night. So none of the past, none of the... any of that stuff was allowed to be brought up.
Oh, my God.
So then it was a mistrial, and Julio was granted a retrial. So the retrial wasn't much different. The jurors were deadlocked as well in the beginning. It was then explained to them if they couldn't agree on a charge, then it would be declared a mistrial once again, and Julio wouldn't be able to be charged at all after that, from my understanding.
What?
Yeah.
Damn.
So they told them that you either have to, if you guys can't agree on first degree murder, then it has to be second degree murder, which is the most years he would get would be 15, but he could get out in like 10.
Wow.
On good behavior.
Right.
Or manslaughter.
Right.
So if he got manslaughter, he would be sentenced the most 10 max, years. Uh-huh. And then the max 10 years. And then
get out in 5.
Get out in 5 or 2.
Wow. Yeah.
So because of that, they were like, well, we have to charge him with something, you know?
Yeah.
So after 6 hours of deliberation, the jury came back with a second degree murder charge with the max sentence of 15 years. Judge James Don was able to add another 5 years to a sentence due to aggravating circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
So Julio Murillo Jr. was sentenced to 20 years in prison. He served his 20-year sentence and is now released. He was released in 2013.
Wow. So he's been out for a few years mm-hmm. now.
Yeah, he's been out for a while.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
And obviously still resides in Pinal mm-hmm. County.
Yes,
somewhere.
He does. Mm-hmm. Yes, he does. Mm-mm-mm. I tried to talk. I went to his mom's house to try to get some information mm-hmm. and just kind of get to know her son. I wasn't going over there with ill intentions. I was trying to put a human element to mm-hmm. his side of the story because, you know, like Michelle was saying when we were over at her house the other day, we could all be murderers. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a time when I felt like I could kill somebody. Like mm-hmm. I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that I feel like stopped me was my kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. I was like, I can't, what's going to happen to them mm-hmm. if this, let's just say it happened,
mm-hmm.
you know, what would happen to my kids?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I think we all can relate to that. Mm-hmm. I feel like,
yeah.
At some point in our life, you mm-hmm. know, regardless of whether it's over,
right, wrong, or otherwise.
Yeah, right, wrong, or otherwise. There's mm-hmm. a reason. I mean, we can all relate, I mm-hmm, guess. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, other people, they don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that they don't have that.
Self-control.
Self-control. Yeah. So the way that I viewed this case. Oh, so anyways, I went to try and talk to his mom.
Mm-hmm.
I went twice to her house. She wouldn't answer the door.
Mm-hmm.
The second time I went, I heard somebody in the home, and I left a note like, you know, I'm just trying to get information in regards to your son.
Mm-hmm.
Please call me. My name is Crystal. Here's mm-hmm. my number. You know, I just want a little bit of information.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody ever called me. So I had found a letter. I forgot it. I was going to bring it in and I forgot the, I had found a letter cause, Ida's daughter, Natalie, her oldest daughter, has like a scrapbook of like all these, she has her autopsy report, the police mm-hmm. report. She has all this stuff in mm-hmm. this, like a scrapbook.
Mm-hmm.
And, I came across a letter that a gentleman had wrote
mm-hmm.
To the judge, and it ended up being the way that I read the letter. It sounded like it was a cousin of his mm-hmm. who was an officer
mm-hmm.
at the time. He worked mm-hmm. for Eloy PD.
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked him up on Facebook and I found him. Mm-hmm. So then I
sent him
a message like, hey, just wanted to, you know, get some information, like, you know, on his childhood, like what was he like as a child, and, you know, just get basic information, mm-hmm. confirm some stuff or whatever. And, you know, I figured Julio lived with his mom, mm-hmm. but I wasn't sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have liked to talk to him. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would have been great. If mm-hmm. I was able to talk to him, I would have been in heaven. Like, mm-hmm. I just wanted, and I know he's not going to tell me anything. Like, I know he's not gonna be like, oh yeah, I did this and that. I know that. That's mm-hmm. not what I was after. I just wanted to get to know him,
mm-hmm.
you know? And just kind of like see where his mind was, or, mm-hmm. you know, try mm-hmm. to get to know a little bit of his character, I guess, mm-hmm. you know. I knew I wasn't trying to crack a case. I wasn't trying to, like, get him to confess to me. Like, mm-hmm. it was nothing like mm-hmm. that. But when I went to his mom's house a second time, I heard somebody, like, telling the dogs, like, shut up, mm-hmm. you know, like. But no one ever answered the door.
Mm-hmm.
And I was never able to speak with him or his
mm-hmm.
mom.
Mm-hmm.
So then I reached out to this person, and he was very arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
Very arrogant. And, so I had, it ended up being like his, it ended up being his uncle. So like, mm-hmm. I thought he was a cousin, but it ended up being his uncle. He's a retired police officer after 40 years. We kind of got into a squabble.
Mm-hmm.
I told him I had heard from Ida's side of the family, and I wanted to hear from Julio's side. I explained to him everyone has a right to tell their story, or they have the right to remain silent, as mm-hmm. I'm sure he is very well aware of, you know, because mm-hmm. him being a cop. My intentions were to try to apply a human element towards his nephew's character.
Mm-hmm.
I also wanted to hear what their version of events were, mm-hmm. you know, how did they perceive the tragedy?
Mm-hmm.
And I told him there are two sides to every story, and somewhere in the middle, you'll usually find what you're looking for. And it was obvious I was getting Nora with him or mm-hmm. his, and, you know, and his family,
because
he was just being a prick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He then threatened to sue me if I had portrayed his nephew in a negative way,
mm-hmm.
which made me laugh because really,
mm-hmm.
fucking murdered somebody,
right?
To which I replied to him with under the First Amendment, I have the freedom of speech and the freedom of press.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to give you guys a chance to speak, something you guys didn't have, you guys weren't able to do in court.
Mm-hmm.
Then I proceeded to tell him good luck with trying to sue me and for being a cop for 40 years. It's pretty sad that he didn't know the law that well.
Mm-hmm.
I also told him that it was cops like him who gave all the other good cops a bad name.
Mm-hmm.
And he was more than welcome to hire an attorney, but he better make sure his attorney was also a magician so he could make the First Amendment magically disappear. Otherwise, good luck with suing me.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, that led me to consult with our legal team.
Mm-hmm.
Our legal department mm-hmm. of the Miranda Rights, attorney Evan. So
Evan at law.
I love Evan. He's so sweet to me. just to confirm that what I said was correct, and our attorney stated I was correct, and as long as what I was saying wasn't being made up,
mm-hmm.
because at that point it does fall under defamation of character,
mm-hmm.
I would be fine. There would be nothing to worry about. Mm-hmm. So we're good.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Wow.
And I wanted to also, I printed out this thing. It is just kind of like what happens when your larynx is crushed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and I wanted to say that Ida was stabbed 58 times.
Okay.
In the newspaper clippings mm-hmm. and in the police reports, it said 30 times.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then if you go further into the clippings and the police reports, then it says like, no, those are the newspaper clippings. It said 40 times, mm-hmm. but it was a total of 58 times. She had been stabbed so many times that there was like, it was too many to count. And mm-hmm. they were like, this kind of like the same spot. They were right. like all like
jumbled together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like it was wounds on top of wounds.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wounds on top of wounds. And then, and the autopsy report, stated that her face was so badly bruised.
Mm-hmm.
So he beat her mm-hmm. before he stabbed her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming they got into an argument. He choked her
mm-hmm.
because of her larynx was crushed.
Mm-hmm.
Ida was really tiny. She was very petite.
Mm-hmm.
And Julio is pretty, he was way taller than her. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly how tall he is, but mm-hmm. I mean, I have it on here on my, when I looked up his DLC number and stuff, right. And all that right there, but
right.
I forgot to put that in here. So he was way taller than her. Mm-hmm. So, and he overpowered her, I'm sure. So mm-hmm. I'm assuming that at some time while they were arguing, he choked her, crushed mm-hmm. her larynx, and then she couldn't talk mm-hmm. at that point. Like I said, it says...
Well, the pacing that they heard was probably her running.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
And, you know, if it was wounds on top of wounds, I mean, he was probably, you know, had the chunks of the popcorn ceiling were coming through. You know, he was probably either beating her or,
yeah,
you know, when he was stabbing her.
He stabbed her in her head, the back mm-hmm. of her head, like on her neck. Like, he just went crazy. I mean, it was yeah. everywhere. When I was reading the autopsy report, it was everywhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, just everywhere. Mm-hmm. She had bruises on her face, all over her face. She had bruises, like I said, on her left, her upper shoulder. Left shoulder by her breast. Her breast, one of her breasts was like badly bruised. Mm-hmm. Her thighs were bruised. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, and there was, I saw that there was like a superficial stab wound mm-hmm. by her genitalia. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it was insane. He like, mauled. I mean, yes, yeah. he did.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, I mean, autopsy reports don't lie. Police reports mm-hmm. don't lie. You know, mm-hmm. I think that when I was talking to Natalie, I said, I think that he probably viewed it as, well, if I can't have her, nobody can.
Mm-hmm.
That's oh, yeah. what I think, you know.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then also, Natalie says that the knife was a knife that, I think it was her Theo Theodore, mm-hmm. Her uncle Theodore worked at Frito-Lay, and I guess they have like a special knife
mm-hmm.
and it chops up the potato chips or something mm-hmm. it kind of looks like a gun or something mm-hmm. she said, and it's very sharp. She said that that was the knife that was used to stab her. Oh, I don't know how shoot. True that is.
Okay,
but I didn't see it in, you know, in yeah. anything. It, mm-hmm. They said the police report said a butcher knife, mm-hmm. but Natalie said it wasn't. It was that mm-hmm. knife. So Natalie says that it was, you know, the cabinets that are above your fridge
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
everybody's household.
Right.
That's where the knife was because oh, it okay. was because Ida didn't want the kids to get it.
Right.
So, and Ida was short and petite. So mm-hmm. she was like, Natalie goes, she would literally have to put a chair in front of the refrigerator to get the knife.
Right.
And then I said, well, even if Julio was tall, like, you know, because I know he's tall, mm-hmm. but even with him being tall, he would have to, like, get up there, get the knife, and then, like, she would see that. So right. she would be able to leave the apartment.
Right.
So to me, that falls under premeditation exactly. because he hid it somewhere.
Right.
He
was accessible he already, to him.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Accessible to him. Somewhere where he was.
He already knew what he yes. was going to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I honestly think that the call set it off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that was what did it for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe mm-hmm. it was, you know, they were young and their relationship was extremely destructive.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't,
mm-hmm.
they weren't compatible. But mm-hmm. I think when you're young like that, and he was really young, he was 22 and she was 29
mm-hmm.
when it happened. Mm-hmm. So I'm not making excuses for him. I'm just saying, like, right. you know, you...
It's know. Just, it's sad because, you know, and like you said, anybody can go through that. I mean, anybody, you know,
yeah.
you know, just, it happens to most people, you know,
yeah.
And a lot of people don't voice it.
Yeah, they
you
don't.
Know, they don't mm-hmm. voice it. You know, and if they do, sometimes they go back,
yeah,
you know, absolutely. So then people don't take them seriously, you know yeah. what I mean? And, which I'm not saying that's the case here. But, I mean, what do you do? You know, it's hard. Yeah. I mean.
And then when I was talking to Julio's uncle, he was like, you know, well, she had a long criminal history, and you know, my nephew didn't have a criminal history. And I'm like, that doesn't mean shit to me. That doesn't mean shit to me. Like, I'm sorry. That just means your nephew didn't never fucking get caught. Yes. That's what that tells me.
Right.
Because if you are like, he's like, well, he didn't have a past. He was young. And I'm like, that doesn't mean shit.
Right.
I know kids that are like 15 doing the stupidest shit in the world. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, that has no merit. Like, to me, I just felt like he was trying to justify, you know, and he's like, well, you know, we lost Ida too. And I'm like, but everything you're saying sounds like you're just making excuses mm-hmm. for your nephew,
mm-hmm.
you know, no matter who cares if Ida had a criminal history, mm-hmm. who cares if she had a criminal background, who cares if she was on intensive probation, mm-hmm. nobody deserves that treatment. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, but if you have time to take a shower, you have time to wash the blade off, yeah. you have time to make phone calls.
And have something to eat.
You yeah. are not, you did not black out. Exactly. I'm sorry. That's There's what I'm no saying. Fucking way.
That's what I'm saying.
At all.
Like, obviously, you're conscious enough to clean yourself up and feed yourself. You did not black out, you know?
Yes. Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
So to me, I'm like, that doesn't, I was like, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, man, some people, I swear some people are mm-hmm. just like, I don't know. But anyways, and I printed this out because I wanted to say, this thing that says when your vocal cords, are like crushed, it's hard for you to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard for you to swallow.
Mm-hmm.
And you have like noisy breathing. So that's mm-hmm. probably what they heard, what they thought was giggling.
Uh-huh.
Loss of vocal pitch. Mm-hmm. So she probably couldn't scream.
Mm-hmm.
What else did it say? Inability to speak loudly. Mm-hmm. That's what it says. Ineffective coughing. And so.
Wow.
Yeah. Belen was 2 at the time.
Uh-huh.
Danielle was 5. Natalie was 15.
Oh my God.
And their, Ida's niece that she always had, Cherie, uh-huh. she was 8.
Oh my God.
And Julio, and Natalie hadn't been together, like, probably for almost a year at that point when it happened. Because remember, they had moved back to Eloy.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't together, but they were still like seeing each other and stuff.
You
like,
said Julio and Natalie.
Oh,
did
sorry.
You mean
Julio and Ida? Yeah, not. Sorry.
Okay.
Julio and Ida, not Julio. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I didn't mean that. I didn't mean it like that. Came out wrong.
Okay.
Julio and Ida hadn't been together since they moved back from Tucson.
Okay.
They moved back to Tucson. Julio lived with his mom. Ida went with her mom and the kids.
Uh-huh.
And within 6 months, she got a job at Casa Grande Regional Medical Center, mm-hmm. now known as Banner, Casa Grande. Mm-hmm. And then
she got her apartment here in Casa Grande.
So, you know, and so her and the kids lived there. But Julio would visit from time to time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they weren't together,
mm-hmm.
but they were still seeing each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, keeping in contact.
So
with each other.
Yeah, exactly. So I wanted to say that. And yeah, I think that was it. I wanted to say I received all of my information from the Casa Grande Dispatch and multiple family members and friends of Ida Perez.
Mm-hmm.
Natalie was a huge help. Mm-hmm. Thanks for all your patience and understanding, Natalie. It's much appreciated, and I wouldn't have been able to be as thorough with this case if it wasn't for you.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I was able to tell your mother's story as close to the truth as I could. And that is the story of Ida Marie Perez.
Oh my gosh. Rest in peace, Ida. Thank yeah. you so much, Natalie, for all of that information.
Yeah, she gave me
being
like,
so cooperative.
Yeah. I mean, I would call her and I'd have all these questions. What about this? What about that? She, uh-huh. I go, I'm so sorry. She's like, it's okay. Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then I wanted to say that when we were taught, when I was, I think when I did Rachel Morningstar's mm-hmm. Case, I was calling Danny, remember when I was talking about the Sixth Amendment, I mm-hmm. was calling Danny Escobar, but that's not his name.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking Escobar, what's his name? What's the cartel guy's name?
I don't know.
What the hell's his name?
I don't know.
The guy, the cartel guy from Mexico. You guys know who I'm talking about. I can't think of his name right now. Mm-hmm. Something Escobar. The guy that...
I don't know.
Yeah, well, anyways, I kept...
I'm like, I don't know.
I kept calling him that guy, the cartel guy's last uh-huh. name, but it's not Escobar, it's Escobedo.
Oh, okay.
Escodero or Escobedo or something like that. That was... So that I fucked up. Mm-hmm. Oh, and then I wanted to talk about... well, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about it another time.
Okay.
But that's it, yeah. And so I hope I was able to tell her story as... I mean, I don't know... Mm-hmm. If that's what everybody was looking for. I know mom wanted mm-hmm. to know about her case and Kelly, but some other people too. Mm-hmm. So I hope I was able, I hope I fulfilled your guys's need to hear that story.
Yeah.
So well,
thank
yeah.
you. It was good. It was good. I mean, you know, like I said, it's so hard to, when you don't have like a lot of media coverage to a certain
yeah,
you only story have certain, you know yes. I mean it was I myself tried to dig around and I could not find anything on it nowhere
yeah that's your
so you know you did a lot of work a lot of digging you know talking to her family members which is really awesome you
trying
know
to talk to Julio's family members
yeah
trying to talk to Julio himself
right so
I got in know. Trouble for that
Yeah, that's Mujer scary.
Mujer yelled at me. Honey yelled at me.
Yeah.
All kinds of people yelled at me. I was like,
yep.
Mm-hmm. Settle down. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Dad yelled at me.
Did he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's like,
why? Get out from under there.
So, mm-hmm. yeah. And then, but that's it. We will please follow us on all our social media accounts.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Facebook is Miranda Writes Podcast. Instagram is the Miranda Writes _19. Twitter is @HELIRNDAGHTS. Mm-hmm. And then our email is themirandawrites2019@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Our website, go to our website. It's up. It's what's been up, but
mm-hmm.
it's themirandawritespodcast.com. We have merch. We have merch now,
mm-hmm.
a little bit of merch. We don't have a lot of stuff, but we have a little bit of stuff. So you guys, if you guys want merch, you know, let us know.
Yep.
I'm trying to put it up on the website so that you guys don't have to, so it doesn't seem so shady. Like, oh yeah, just give me.
Yeah, just give me cash and I'll drop it off.
Yeah, it sounds kind of, or like I'll mail it to you. Like, yeah. No, it's just, I'm trying to get it to where like you guys can just go order it on, off of the website. And I think that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you want to say? Anything else you have to say?
Nope. Good job.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That was a hard case.
Thank you, Natalie. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Natalie. Thanks for everything. The autopsy report, the police report, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Everything you gave me. I mean, it helped tremendously.
Right, right.
So, I mean, there was a lot of stuff in the autopsy report, but it was like it's medical term, a lot of medical yeah. terms, and I knew what they were saying, but
yeah,
I don't think people really. I mean, I know what it's saying, so I'm conveying it to you.
Mm-hmm.
He beat her really bad.
Mm-hmm.
She had 58. Stab wounds.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't include defensive wounds.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
right.
And then, but that's it. So,
thank you. Have a nice weekend.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. All right.
Bye.
Bye.